going on, everybody? You're listening to Seggy Station. It's the man that has a nickname, what was I to say, with no shame. Wednesday, November 24th, 2021. Hope all is well out there with everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe and hope everybody has a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Fired up to be here back on the podcast today. Solo today here on the podcast. Appreciate all the boys coming through and talking here on the podcast. But fired up to be back here talking some sports solo today. Trying out some new things on my Twitch stream. You can always check out a live version of my podcast there. It's _Seggy_G. You can always follow along on my Instagram or Twitter page at Seggy Station. Appreciate all love and support for the podcast as always. Plenty to touch on in the world of sports, particularly the New York Football Giants, LeBron getting suspended, college football playoff rankings, and I got to touch on some COVID updates before I get into any of that. Looking forward to getting some things fired up on the podcast. Got some PGA Tour updates for you. And plenty to touch on before the Thanksgiving football games tomorrow. And plenty of good NFL games in the Week 12 slate. Looking forward to getting back into watching some football. Been watching plenty of NBA. UConn, as I shouted out in last podcast with the boys on Monday, had it. Game versus Auburn, in which they just won double overtime, 115-109. Can't believe I can't bet on UConn, by the way. Been trying to figure that out with FanDuel Sportsbook. Gonna have to contact them. But shout out to FanDuel Sportsbook. It's been making watching the sports, the passion for sports, talking sports, all that. Don't let anybody steal your passion. Always still have the passion for sports. Looking forward to bringing some of that action here on the podcast today. A day before Thanksgiving, thankful for a lot of things, thankful for the podcast, thankful for the people that listen to the podcast, and appreciate all love and support for it as always. Right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk microphone, it's always direct. Time to reflect, should be a fiery show today for sure, enjoy it, and let me start with this. I'm not going to have a timer for this one, but haven't been talking about COVID as much, particularly at all, really, when it's come to the sports world. But I think it's impacting the sports world once again, where I've got to come in and kind of talk about it here. Some quick updates from what I'm getting. It's right around 73% of America is vaccinated. 95% of the NFL is vaccinated. I'm not quite sure on the number of NBA players vaccinated, but I think the number was above 80% league-wide. Going around and looking at how COVID is still impacting not only sports, it's definitely impacting the Dallas Cowboys, it's impacting the New York Jets and their football decision with putting Joe Flacco and Mike White on the COVID reserve list. Obviously, Amari Cooper and some other Cowboys now dealing with it, and we've seen it before in the NFL this year. Obviously, we saw it last year before there was a vaccine. We saw it with Aaron Rodgers, and we saw, obviously, and I've talked on Aaron Rodgers plenty of times, and we continue to see Aaron Rodgers and how he continues to put himself out there with ridiculous comments on misinformation of COVID and the vaccines and all that. But regardless of how you feel about any of that, regardless of how you feel about wanting to get the vaccine, not getting the vaccine, I think at this point it's almost crazy that you're playing a professional sport and not required to get the vaccine, because they're requiring college kids in order to be on college campuses to have the vaccine. So I assume college kids, college athletes that are playing a sport are required to get the vaccine. You think about what that's going to do not only for kids in schools lower than college, but it goes back to the whole thing with the vaccines in general. If you wanted to go to school, you had to get these shots. So I don't understand why they're not doing this with sports. You see it with the 76ers and Joel Embiid still being out COVID. You saw it with Chris Middleton in the NBA, out for the Bucks, COVID. Bucks really off to a slow start. Now he's back. They're kind of picking it back up. I mentioned the Jets. Obviously, I mentioned the Dallas Cowboys. It's definitely going to impact the game, and I think it's going to impact games going forward, COVID and players catching COVID, whether they're vaccinated or not. The tricky part here is you can catch COVID when you're vaccinated, and some of the protocols to get back on the field or court are not as drastic when you are vaccinated, because it cleans up a little quicker. And obviously everybody knows that the likelihood of you dying or getting very sick vaccinated, I believe, is 5 or 6 times more likely of doing so. So they recommend, obviously, you get vaccinated not only for the greater cause for the rest of the people, but for yourself. Obviously, plenty of people have been skeptical of that. And I think after all this time, any skepticism on that has to be put aside. At this point, with trying to go to an NBA game, the other day, going to Duke's, checking out TD Garden, hitting out the Lakers game, talked about it a little bit with the boys. Really great experience for me, probably a memory of a lifetime, seeing LeBron James live, Russ for my second time, really close to the court, seeing a lot of people that I've just admired just with my own eyes, Stephen A. Smith, Jalen Rose, watching a lot of Jalen and Jacoby, Stephen A. Don't watch him as much anymore, but obviously he's still out there for his hot takes and definitely provides some inspiration to me to come in here and be able to do what I do, which is come out and make predictions and talk and put yourself out there, which I think is extremely hard when you're going through a lot of things, anxiety, depression. I've heard Jay talk about it on his stream. I've seen plenty of athletes talk about mental health, Stephon Diggs, Calvin Ridley, Naoma Osaka. The list goes on, and I think it gets swept under the rug because in today's day and age, there's so much news. Taking it back to the COVID, there's so much news. Even when someone gets tested positive for COVID and they're on the team, it doesn't really seem to impact that team unless you're a fan of it. When you're making picks, obviously, on it. But just like that, they're back, and then it kind of just goes back into the womb. But you forget about how their impact of them not being there, regardless of how the team does. Look at Aaron Rodgers, for an example. They probably wouldn't have lost that game if Aaron Rodgers was there. The way I see it is I don't understand why you're going to mandate fans of your sport to go get a vaccine in order to come in and watch your sport and mandate some of those players to get it in order to play in that facility, i.e. Kyrie Irving, but then not do that universally across your league. And I've struggled with that, not only with sports, but just in society with how I kind of see things going now, how it cannot be mandatory in such a money-based thing like sports, but be mandatory for some local sales car place like my aunt's work, or mandatory if you want to ref soccer games for Duke, or mandatory if you want to work at certain jobs, or discretionary on how you have to do things with the mandatory or not, mandatory with the vaccine, mandatory with the mask or not. And it's just very confusing. And I think after all this time with things kind of still going how they're going with COVID, and I think going to be somewhat of a uptick again in COVID really soon, not only in sports, but just in the general public, with people getting together and gathering for Thanksgiving. People, let's just be honest, lying about being vaccinated to do certain things, finding ways to get fake vaccine cards, Antonio Brown, finding ways to have a real vaccine card, but it's not yours. Things of those sorts that are definitely happening. For a fact. And I just think it's wild to see now if that's how things are going to be and it's not going to be more universal, how it's going to impact sports going forward, I think is going to be crucial. It's going to impact a playoff team in the NFL. It's going to impact NBA teams with standings and going forward into the winter months, heading into more crucial time games. It impacts the NHL. It impacted baseball as they try to get through this season, and still impacting, obviously, everybody around the country and elsewhere. So at this point, with them, Dr. Fauci and everybody recommending boosters, all these things kind of going on with the boosters and people getting boosters and people still unvaccinated, but people coming around to vaccinations, and all these things that you kind of swirling around, it's kind of hard to struggle and think, well, where are we going to go from here? And I've mentioned that so many times. I think it's crucial that more people are talking about the mental health aspect of it, not only in sports or not, because that's COVID has definitely impacted that, regardless of how mental health comes about and things like that nature. I think COVID clearly has impacted everybody in that regard, mental health wise, and it's just wild if you're dealing with your own things and now this thing, COVID, that you can't control is going on for everybody, just obviously throws onto the pot. And just going forward with sports, it's going to be wild to see how things are going to shake out when it comes to COVID. And I just hope that things are better sooner rather than later. going to switch it up here and get into some sports talk. Let me look for my timer. And I did want to start with some New York football Giants, who are absolutely terrible, by the way. I'll switch into some Seggy right, Seggy wrong here. Certainly wrong about the Giants. Giants have had an absolutely terrible season. Jason Garrett, thankfully, just got fired. And at this point, there was no reason to keep this man around. Jason Garrett has not only the Giants having the last in red zone percentage in the NFL, which I believe now is below 44%. Our team, the New York Football Giants, through 10 games, is the only team to not score under 2 minutes heading into a half. We are being outscored 45-0 in those situations. Reasons that I think Jason Garrett should have been fired. Just watching the game, the creativity of the offense just is not there. I've seen guys like Chad Ochocinco, Dez Bryant, a former player for Jason Garrett, saying how Kadarius Toney may now be unleashed. The creativity and the particular skill set he has scheme-wise with a new offensive coordinator and how that'll impact him going forward, I think, will be great. I love what we have in Kadarius Toney. I love what we have in Ajis Ojulari, 5.5 sacks on the year. I think going to be wound up as a steal in that draft, being that high second rounder. Probably should have went in the first round. But Jason Garrett, 26 games in as the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants, we've never scored over 30 points. I believe in those games, the Giants have scored 24 or more in 5, and we've also scored 13 or less in 9. It's just been an absolute disaster. And for me, I'm just looking at it like, well, what does this mean for Daniel Jones? What does this mean for Joe Judge? What does this mean for guys like Dave Gettleman? I mean, I've tried to back Daniel Jones and give him the benefit of the doubt, terrible team around him and all this stuff. There's no way that I think he's as trash as people are putting him out to be, and I think you got to now wait and see how he does the rest of this year, but how is he going to do the rest of this year when Freddie Kitchens is named the offensive coordinator? The Giants are just absolute turmoil, man. It's absolutely sad to see. Not really competitive. Probably one of the worst teams in the league. And it's wild because I don't think we have that type of roster. I know we got a lot of injuries this season. Jabril Peppers, Blake Martinez on the defense, Logan Ryan out this week, this past week due to COVID. You know, Saquon in and out of the lineup, can't seem to stay in it. Kenny Galladay looking like the worst offseason signing, and I was pleading for it. You know, just lots of question marks, obviously, on the offensive line and just going forward with what the team's going to be. Joe Judge, Dave Gettleman going to be there, all these question marks. I'm just not so sure how it's going to go going forward as a Giants fan, but at least on the bright side, I think we got guys, as I mentioned, like Kadarius Toney, Ajis Ojulari, steals in the draft, and Jason Garrett's out. So I guess going forward, I guess we just got to get through this season, and we'll see. See how it goes from here. But it's just kind of tough to see how it's going right now for the New York Giants, who I was certainly wrong about. Team I was right about is the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I just want to touch on the Baltimore Ravens quickly because what Tyler Huntley did this past week, I think, is pretty impressive. Undrafted free agent out of Utah. I mentioned in the pod the other day, shout out Utah for taking out Oregon, who was slated in the college football playoff. Hopefully get into a little bit of that before I get out of here. The Baltimore Ravens, I think, are a number one contender in the AFC, minus the Kansas City Chiefs, as long as Lamar Jackson. He was out with an illness, non-COVID related, half COVID, I think, two times now, Lamar Jackson. I like the, even with all their problems on the running game, with all their backs going down, 16 players on IR, I think their defense proves they can win. Justin Tucker is a guy that can kick you a game-winning kick. Jim Harbaugh, the type of coach that we've seen is proven to win big-time games, and they've already won, I think it's 5 games in which they were down, trailing in the fourth quarter, so they're proving they're a comeback team. Lamar Jackson proving he's MVP type candidate. I think he's still in that conversation, even missing a game with things kind of being up in the air. And I think Jonathan Taylor launching himself into the conversation going forward with him basically running the Chiefs, or I'm sorry, the Colts back into the playoffs. But just going forward with the Ravens, I've kind of been high on them this year in the power rankings. I think it's kind of tough to do right now if you were doing a power rankings, but if I did a top five, I think the Ravens would definitely be in that conversation. Going forward, it'll be interesting to see how they incorporate Rashad Bateman, who's a rookie who's been kind of coming onto the scene. Mark Andrews still as a top tight end in this league, and Lamar Jackson proving he's not only a rusher but a thrower, and if he's able to still continue doing that, lead his team in comeback wins, something that he's been knocked for before as well. Kind of get right, get healthy, and get the rest of the team healthy. I think going forward, it's going to be tough with that division, kind of up for grabs. A lot of teams right now, 20 teams, 500 above in the NFL. A lot of things left to be seen out. Entering into week 12 here, already Thanksgiving, which is wild. Time just flying on by. But I do think the Ravens are in a good spot, and I'm glad I was somewhat high on the Ravens because Lamar Jackson is the real deal, and I think one of the best dual threat quarterbacks, if not the best dual threat quarterback we're ever going to see. I was certainly wrong about a few other teams I wanted to touch on. Been definitely a lot more wrong in the NFL than right, who hasn't been. But damn, I was certainly wrong about the Patriots, who are now first in the AFC East, playing a game this week up against the Tennessee Titans, who obviously are now struggling, losing Derrick Henry, waiving Adrian Peterson after just two games, signing Golden Tate, just begging for any type of offense when you're losing to the Houston Texans on an eight-game losing streak and Ryan Tannehill is throwing four interceptions. I think I'll turn out to be pretty right about the Tennessee Titans, who I think are going to be in trouble unless they get Derrick Henry back. You know, people ask me about how I felt about Adrian Peterson. I thought I could come in and hold down the fort, but clearly the Tennessee Titans didn't think that just two games through. Yeah, they got a bunch of young guys they're throwing back there, but they aren't going to be able to hold up the fort. This is on Ryan Tannehill, and at this point, I think Carson Wentz is proving he's a little bit more trustworthy than Ryan Tannehill, and I think that's crazy with how things just went with that overtime game, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I'm sure Frank Wright's still losing sleep after it. Over that, because the Colts, I think, are, when I thought the Tennessee Titans were going to run away with that division, well, that was before Derrick Henry went down. So it'll be interesting to see if Derrick Henry gets back for their playoff run and if the Titans can stay afloat, or if the Colts can somehow get back up ahead of the Titans, even though the Titans have now beat them twice. So the odds don't look great on that. But the Patriots is one, and I totally got off on a tangent there, because I just don't even want to talk about the fact that the Patriots are playing well right now and are having to play the Tennessee Titans, a team I think they can beat. And once they do, this is a must-win for Buffalo tomorrow. You know, Josh Allen's been struggling. I've been a little bit wrong about the Buffalo Bills. I think I'll be proven to be right here. I think the Buffalo Bills get a big victory tomorrow on the road. I think we'll be the only road team to win tomorrow, as I got Detroit and Dallas winning in the early games. I'll take Buffalo in the late game, and I think the Bills kind of get the ship righted here a little bit going forward, not only on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going up against Trevor Siemian, who's just been a big mistake to do that, in my opinion. But, hey, Sean Payton knows everything. But I do think the Bills will get right, even though they have been struggling, and a lot of people are worried about where they're at. Josh Allen throwing interceptions, not looking great. You know, no run game, literally no run game, and just searching for any type of run game is not ideal in the National Football League. But I do think they'll still win that division because they'll have to play the Patriots twice, but the Patriots aren't looking like they're going to go down without a fight, and that's something I honestly didn't think would have a chance. I want to touch on the LA Chargers, who I believe will definitely be in the playoffs. I know they're kind of put in a lot of people's tiers as teams that may or may not make the playoffs. They're coming off Sunday Night Football victory, 41-37 over the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team I think will be left out of the playoff conversation. And you know, if they didn't have such a great coach in Mike Tomlin, who seems like he can win with anybody at quarterback, and this mystique defense of integrity or whatever we're calling it with their brand of football that just seems to not be able to be cracked. Najee Harris turning out to be an elite running back, getting like 75% of the team's scrimmage yards or some wild thing like that. But I don't think it'll be enough. And I think the Chargers have enough, not only getting some of their key defensive players back healthy, Joey Bosa and Derwin James, but on the offensive side of the ball, Mike Williams getting a bit healthy. He started off absolutely really hot and was one of the top wide receivers in terms of touchdowns in the league 5 weeks through the year. Then was banged up and was still out there playing. Numbers went down. He got back right. Justin Herbert had a few bad weeks in a row. He threw for 472 yards and three touchdowns this past week. Austin Eckler, who I think is a very underrated running back, had four touchdowns this past week. Just going forward, you got weapons in there. Jared Cook, Keenan Allen, who a lot of people don't talk about, I think is also a top wide receiver in this league. Justin Herbert, as much as a lot of people had him high, he had a couple bad games. People then start dropping him low. I think he's the real deal, and I think he'll get the Chargers into the playoffs. He's the type of guy that can win you a football game just on his back. He proved that on Sunday Night Football with that late long throw to Mike Williams for a touchdown. Kind of gotten the offense back to clicking on all cylinders. And just going forward, I think it'll be tough for the Chargers to not be a playoff contender with Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, all those weapons on offense, and the defense just being able to do somewhat of enough to give the offense a chance. If he's not turning the ball over in Justin Herbert, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers can compete for that division, but definitely get a wild card spot. Because I do think the Chiefs, they're playing the toughest schedule in the NFL through the first 11 weeks, and now they're on their bye, so this could be a big-time win for the Chargers this week if they can get it on the road up against the Denver Broncos, who are just an absolute roller coaster and I think about to just fall out here pretty quick. Damn, I've been wrong about a lot, for sure. Because I was wrong about Seattle. I was wrong about the Eagles, who've won three out of four and looking a lot better and looking way better than the Giants. And Jalen Hurts scares me. The Browns, and I guess I was right about Baker Mayfield because Baker Mayfield has been absolutely terrible. And it's just absolutely wild to see him still out there with him banged up and bitching about being banged up. Well, then don't be out there because you're not looking great, dude. And if you're going to wait till you get healthy, then let's see what you got. But you can't blame it on OBJ anymore, who's in LA, by the way, and looking like he's going to get some more looks, obviously, now. Big game this week, LA at Green Bay. I think LA is going to get back on track this week at Green Bay. And Green Bay, with Aaron Rodgers sticking his foot up in the air during his press conference, showing everybody his big toe or pinky toe or whatever the fuck he's doing. I just can't with Aaron Rodgers, man. And I think they're going to lose a couple games here because of Aaron Jones being down, because of Aaron Rodgers being a little banged up. And going forward, they lost a couple of their offensive linemen for the year. Bakhtiari's been out. I saw a guy towards ACL in Sunday's loss to the Vikings. And I think the Vikings, as much as they're far down in that division, will be a team that has a chance, if not definitely makes the playoffs in the NFC in a wild card spot. Another big time game for them this week at San Francisco, two teams at 5-5, vying for a playoff spot in the NFC after such a slow start for both. So that'll be a really interesting game to follow and watch going forward. But I've just been wrong about a lot of things in the NFL, to be completely honest. I have not been betting well on the NFL. I got a bunch of bad beats on the NFL. The only thing I feel like I can bet on is the NBA and hitting a fucking super boost NHL parlay, which I don't know anything and don't watch any NHL, but threw five on it and won. So whatever. On the Tampa Bay Lightning, Calgary Flames, and Dallas Stars to all win last night. And it happened, so gotta love it. Just like I saw some wild parlays made up of a couple basketball games that I literally couldn't name one player or honestly tell you where the schools are at. And I saw a dude put down 17 to win 400. I mean, that's just what you got to do, man. You got to be snidey in some of these things that you could pretty much basically bet on anything minus the UConn Huskies basketball team, which I still can't figure that out with the sports book. And I'm going to have to figure that out. But yeah, it's been a lot of Seggy right, Seggy wrong, mostly wrong when it comes to the NFL. We'll see how it pans out going forward this week when I try and get in some of these picks. So I mentioned I got the Detroit Lions picking up their first win, the Dallas Cowboys losers of 2 of 3, taking out the Las Vegas Raiders, who had just been spiraling out of control ever since basically Henry Ruggs found himself out of NFL for life and in prison. But Damien Arnette caught for waving guns and doing stuff on his social media. Obviously, everything going on with Jon Gruden and his racial and crazy ass emails, getting kicked out and fired from the NFL, now suing the NFL and all that, that still has to be handled. Just an absolute disaster with the Raiders. And going forward, Derek Carr is trying to say, put it all on me. That's fine, man. You haven't been playing great after starting off pretty hot. It's kind of hard to think you'll be able to do any of that with all that happening. So I think as much as I'm hating on the Cowboys usually, and I don't think they'll wind up to be a top team in the NFL, but probably just the top team in the NFC East. I'm not sure if that's saying much, but we'll see. And like I said, I got the Buffalo Bills bouncing back, picking up a win. Alvin Kamara out. Mark Ingram questionable. Shout out Mark Ingram, who passed Deuce McAllister, I think, 2 weeks ago for the most rushing yards in franchise history for the Saints. But Trevor Siemian, no Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas out for the year. All that. The Saints have no shot. Just hammering the Bills in this game. Hammering Josh Allen over 32.5 rushing yards, which I think he's going to have a good game on the ground. I'm not so sure if he's going to get the over in passing yards because Saints have a pretty good defense, but I would not be surprised because I got the Bills winning pretty big in this game. And if you're going to bet anything on Thanksgiving, you should bet the Bills to beat the New Orleans Saints. I'll take the Cincinnati Bengals over the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I mentioned are going to have a really tough schedule here down the stretch. And they lost a heartbreaker on Sunday Night Football, as I mentioned, to the Chargers. And they'll probably lose another, what's going to be a heartbreaker here to a divisional foe, to Joey Burrow, who's really showing some for the Cincinnati Bengals, having them in playoff contention for the first time since Marvin Lewis. I got the Indianapolis Colts staying hot and taking out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home. I mind you, the Indianapolis Colts are supposed to be the first team featuring a in-season Hard Knocks that was supposed to premiere November 17th. I haven't been able to find it. I don't know even where Hard Knocks is at, because I don't really watch Hard Knocks. But what I do know is that should be pretty sweet to check out, considering they're now on pace to get back into the playoffs. Jonathan Taylor on pace to do some incredible things here in the NFL and whatnot. At running back position, sorry, my bell went off and I wasn't really wanting it to. But yeah, I think the Colts take out the Bucks, who it's really not saying much if you could beat the Giants. The Giants can't even cover a 10.5 spread. Can't even score. I think it's 12 games we have scored one or zero offensive touchdowns in the past 2 seasons. And that's the worst in the NFL. It's just absolutely sickening. Miami and Tua is on a 3-game winning streak, but I think it ends this week up against Carolina. I talked about New England, who's been struggling at home this year, Tennessee, and how I really basically don't believe in them to be able to get it done, but I'm gonna have to believe in them enough in this game. But I'll tell you right now, it's gonna be hard for me to pick this game. But I guess I'm taking the Titans, but I'm not confident in that. The Eagles, as I mentioned, winners 3 or 4 at the Giants this week. I'm 91-73-1 on the season, by the way. So I'm I always pick the Giants. I guess it's guaranteed one loss a week. There's no way I'm picking the Eagles, so I'll stick with it. But yeah, I don't know how I'm faithful I am in either of those last two picks. A little more faithful in Atlanta to bounce back up against Jacksonville, and I think the Houston Texans will take care of the New York Jets. I think scrum games in the NFL. I got the LA Chargers to take out the Broncos, and I got the LA Rams to take out Green Bay Packers. I think both pretty handily this week. I'll take the Minnesota Vikings, and I'll ride with Kirk over Jimmy G and the 49ers, even though this person I've been following along on Twitter and been trying to get an interview with is like the biggest Niners fan, so I'm sure that's not going to help out my chances of getting my resume in there. But anyways, I'm taking the Vikings. Justin Jefferson's elite, and Dalvin Cook, even though he's dealing with some off-the-field issues, which is a whole other story to get into at another time, which I really don't even understand what's going on with Dalvin Cook. But I guess he's good. You know how I feel about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and I think Lamar's back this week, and I'll take the Ravens Sunday Night Football over the Browns all day, every day. I talked about the Seahawks, and they're the Monday Night Football game up against the Washington football team. And, this is another game where I'm just like, I was saying this the other day on the pod, that I guess I'll take Seattle in this game, but that's just another one. Russell Wilson's got to get right at some point. I mean, I know he's got no run game right now. I know the defense is absolutely terrible. So I guess at this point, I mean, Chase Young's, that's just a game where I don't even know if I want to pick that game, to be completely honest. That's just. But I have to for my picks to keep my overall going. So I'm taking Seattle. Shout out Russell Wilson. But that's going to be another one where we'll see how that ends up. I did have a couple PGA Tour updates for you. Then I was going to take a quick break, come on back, get through another couple topics before I get out of here for the day. Saw Tiger Woods back hitting some golf balls, which is phenomenal news for me to see. Phenomenal for a lot of people who were shouting out seeing Tiger Woods hit some golf balls. And here's the thing. Tiger Woods hitting golf balls again, putting a video up of it. To me, you don't put up a video of it if you plan on not trying to come back. This is a great sign. I know it seems kind of crazy at this point. I know he crashed his car, which I think is before the Masters now. I was trying to figure this out like February. I have to go back and check the tapes because I pretty much have a tape crying about it. But I said I think he'd play again competitively, and I stand by that, and I do think he will, and this is a great sign. PGA Tour announced also that they will be raising their purses even higher for its five biggest events going forward, as they're also positioning to grow faster. This is great news for not only the PGA Tour players, but the game of golf, knowing that not only more people are interested in it, more people are checking in on the game of golf as a PGA professional. Obviously, I'm trying to grow the game as always. If you come check me out right now, I'm in a new spot teaching Essex Indoor Golf Center. A lot of cool things going on there. Parties, mini golf. I think it's 70 virtual courses. Obviously, as I mentioned, I'm teaching. We got lessons availability. Plenty of bars. I'll be putting a post up on my actual Instagram page for anybody that knows me. But for the PGA Tour in general, this is a good sign. For golf guys like me in general, this is a good sign. And for all the things I was bitching about when it comes to COVID to start out the day as sex topic of the day, COVID has definitely helped out the golf business. And there's been instances, businesses, things of that nature that have certainly been benefited by COVID. Golf, I think, is one of them. And it's a good thing to see, as sorry and sad as COVID is. Shout out Taylor Gooch, who last week he turned 30, and this week he was a tour champion, I'm sorry. He won at the RSM Classic, and I know Musty's a big Taylor Gooch fan, so I need to give Taylor Gooch a shout out for his first PGA Tour victory. I know that the Koepka and DeChambeau, what they're calling match four, is taking place Friday. I got Brooks in this match, even though Brooks has been playing terrible recently. I think missed been cut in his last two events. DeChambeau putting out these hype videos, that's fine. Brooks is ready to go and will be ready to go because he knows he's facing you, and this is something I gotta see. Match four, you know, I shouted out the UConn game the other day versus Auburn, and that was a 115-109 double overtime game today that I just finished up watching before coming out of the pod. I totally recommend, if you're around Friday, I believe at 4 o'clock, to check in on the match four, Bryson DeChambeau versus Brooks Koepka. For sure, I'll be betting on this on FanDuel Sportsbook. Give me Koepka. Winners of the match, the match number one, Tiger versus Phil. Mickelson defeated Woods in extra holes. The match champions of charity, Woods and Manning, defeated Mickelson and Brady. The match champions for change, Mickelson and Barkley, defeated Curry and Manning. And as I mentioned, match four will be on Friday, Koepka versus DeChambeau. Love to see it. As the PGA Tour, as I mentioned, is trying to grow the game, trying to spread that golf is actually worth not only doing, but learning how to do, following, checking out, all the above, and I'm all for that for sure. Definitely wanted to get in and give you those updates there. Been saving those for a little while. Also, a shout-out to Dustin Johnson, Coastal Carolina alum. I know this is going back a little bit because the Ryder Cup was about 2 months ago, but he became the fourth American to go 5-0-0 in Ryder Cup history. He went 3-2 in Friday foursomes, 2-1 Friday four ball, 2-1 in Saturday foursomes, 4-3 in Saturday four ball, and 1-up in Sunday singles. Shout out Dustin Johnson, who is super G. People always ask me who's my favorite golfer. It's Tiger Woods, but there's other guys that I like on tour, mainly Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka. And Rory McIlroy, who became the 7th youngest to 20th wins on tour since 1960. Tiger Woods, 24 years, 5 months. Jack Nicklaus, 26 years, 8 months. Tom Watson, 30 years, 5 months. Arnold Palmer, 30 years, 10 months. Phil Mickelson, 31 years, 7 months. And Billy Casper, 32 years, 1 month. Shout out Rory McIlroy. Got his 20th victory on tour, I believe, a few weeks back, 32 years, 5 months, and 13 days. Rory, one of my also all-time favorite golfers, and he's quoted for saying some really inspirational and vibrant things right now, like finding yourself, and I think that's important at a time when everything's kind of wild, for sure. Getting a few other shout-outs here before I took my quick break. Shout out Jay Glazer, man. After Lane Johnson interview, he talked about mental health breakdown. He talked about talking to Michael Strahan, who I also have some interesting stats on Michael Strahan in the read, but I've seen more and more people kind of speaking up about this, as I mentioned. Been talking about it here on the podcast for a while. I think it's important to mention, not only in sports, but just in daily go-around functions of making sure you check in on one another, making sure that you have that support system, because without it, it's hard. When you're going through some things, when you're trying to figure some things out, and what's really a cold world, a hate-driven world, and at this point, there's not a lot of people trying to spread love. I've always been trying to do that. A lot of people with all these social media posts of dog pictures as a puppy, check out your name in the Urban Dictionary. Somebody told me to do that. I did. Kind of wild how incredibly accurate it is. And then I started like checking up other people's names just to like see if mine was the only one that was incredibly accurate. And no, it was not. So yeah, just another random thing that blows with a person's mind who's kind of all over the place. But there are some good things to be had from seeing these stories. I think it's inspiration to see some of these athletes with these platforms stepping up, because not everybody has a platform. Not anybody, even with a platform, wants to talk about things like that. And I think it takes a lot of courage, man, to come out and admit, you know, that you're struggling, or that you may need help, or, you know, that you need some time away. It's just frowned upon, and you look weak and all that. And I don't think it's a sign of weakness unless maybe you're going through what that person's going through, or maybe you don't even know. And I just see more and more every day. You know, the last Sunday before Thanksgiving we had this past week, already at the end of 2021, and just all the time that has gone by for me since all these tragedies have happened. Yeah, it maybe puts things into perspective, but it doesn't make the pain go away. It doesn't make it any easier. It doesn't make me think about it any less. It doesn't make it any less hard when I'm by myself and figuring my own stuff out. It's a lot, man. And I've just found a lot of peace in being able to create some of that stuff through sport, through golf, through wanting to help others and share what I have to offer, not only when it comes to golf and teaching it, but just playing it, talking sports in general and all that. So it's just been a whole bunch of stuff that I've been trying to catch up on in sports. I've been seeing a bunch of it. And it just all comes back to mental health, man. And just kind of taking care of yourself and how hard it is when, you know, you think you're the only one and you're not. And then you start thinking, well, who else? And then if you do it like that, and you're already kind of messed up. So you just got to worry about yourself, kind of strive back into yourself. You know, keep fighting that fight. Keep doing the things that make you happy. Follow the things that you're passionate about. You know, I've been doing a lot of that recently, as much as I haven't been solo potting as much, because I've just have this anxiety of doing it, and the topics and the organization of it is just like so much for me, where I've just kind of lost it a little bit in terms of the groove, but I'll get it back. I've been doing some other things that have been making me happy, like finishing up my tattoos and shit. Helping my neighbor that's moving in across the street. Callie's got a new dog friend. Making a couple new friends at my new job. Playing some golf there, indoors. Having a couple beers, whatnot, whatever. Even though I don't drink beer, I drink sodas. while they drink beer. But yeah, it's a cool spot, man. It's life stuff, really. You know, you could be in a really bad place, and like Stefan Diggs says, right? You got to try and dig yourself out of there. I think it's crazy. Like, what about the people that either don't ever get out of there, or, you know, find it hard to get out of there, or whatever? Or if they do make it out, it's one of these things I was talking about and thinking of earlier. Like, I feel like I've been shitty for so long that I don't really know how it is to not feel shitty. So I'm just like stuck where I'm like feeling shitty because I just don't know what it's like to not. I know that kind of sounds wild, but some people just don't understand, man. I don't think they ever will. At this point, I've learned that I'm just gonna have to keep doing me, man. Because you can have the greatest ideas and you can do all this stuff, but you can't sell it, and you can't do it if no one's listening to it and following it. You can have all these takes, and you can talk anything you want or follow any sports and talk sports. At the end of the day, it's all airspace. It's just like a hobby. It's for fun. All the stuff I listen to now, I used to think it was like informational. Like a lot of the stuff they're saying, they flip on the next day. So yeah, not a lot of people are consistent. They're doing it for ratings. Yeah, I can get off on a tangent and be all kind of wild all day. Getting out of the PGA Tour updates here, which that wasn't even closely related to the PGA Tour. Definitely got to touch on some NBA, got to touch on some college stuff for sure after a quick break because I need a drink. And yeah, I'll get through hopefully some random stuff that I have to get through that I've been trying to catch up on here for at least a couple weeks. Be right back in a Seggy station. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Sega Station is brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shut the rescue mode to many, but life's a companion to me. To me, nothing promotes true home happiness in the household, but I love a companion of a pet. Especially at a time like this, get yourself a little pet friend like mine, it's your local animal shelter, pound, and nursery. Save their life, and they're just my saviors. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Odell Beckham Jr. will receive Rams salary in Bitcoin. He also announced that he has a baby on the way with his girlfriend, Lauren Wood. Shout out OBJ, who's going to be getting right with the Rams. Don't you worry about it. Packers offensive lineman Ellington Jenkins suffered a torn ACL in Sunday's loss to the Vikings. PJ Dozier of the Nuggets, fear, suffered a torn ACL in their loss to the Blazers last night. Not good looks for the kneecap area. Been there, done that. Torn ACL and meniscus, not fun. As I mentioned, Titans waived Adrian Peterson and also have signed Golden Tate. Michael Strahan is joining Blue Kerrigan's next flight. I scribbled something, but he's going to space, apparently, December 9th. And apparently there's a space hotel that they're building. Should y'all go to a space hotel? I'm probably out on that. I saw Greg Norman add two key executives to a group attempting to start a new golf league. Maybe that's why the PGA Tour is raving some of their funds so guys don't go to that golf league. I don't know. I saw six schools accept invites to the ACC, Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, North Texas, UTSA, who I don't know who that is, Rice, and UAB. A date is set to be determined. Not Coastal. Bob Melvin reportedly to become the next Padres manager. Talked about the PS5's one-year anniversary. Saw you can probably get one right now. $700-$800. Right about what I paid for it. Right around Christmas time, it'll be reportedly $2,000, though. That's how much these things go up in price because people know they want to buy them for gifts. Sony has reportedly sold 13.4 million PS5 consoles in 1 year. Talked about the Koepka DeChambeau match, which will be in Las Vegas this Friday. Tune into that. TNT, 4 p.m., I believe, is the start. Matt Nagy, 3-7, says he doesn't believe his job is in trouble. The Bears franchise has never fired a head coach in season, but that's kind of a skewed stat because their owner was their head coach for about 20-plus years. Not looking good for Matt Nagy and the Bears. I think the Bears lose tomorrow, and I think Matt Nagy is fired by Friday. College football playoff rankings, I believe it's the fourth edition now. I don't know. I can't keep up with it because I've been watching more college basketball. Shout out Chet Holmgren, the Zags, UConn, as I mentioned. Plenty of good basketball being played in the college rankings. But in college football rankings, Georgia number one, Ohio State number two, Bama number three, Cincy into the top four, the first group of five to ever make it into the top four. Michigan, five. Notre Dame, six. Still alive is Notre Dame at six. Shout out my boy Jackie Livingstone. Shout out my boy Michael Baldini, who I mentioned on last pod, who is a swimmer at Georgetown and did break a school record in, I believe it was the 100-meter fly. 48.39 was his score, and that's pretty impressive out there looking G. Doing his thing in Georgetown. Love to see it. Shout out Jackie Livingstone, as I mentioned, in at Notre Dame is more like what I'm looking for. And Notre Dame's still alive for the college football playoff. And I'll touch on some college sports before I get out of here, but I did need to touch on a couple of things in the NBA before I did that. So let me get into that here real quick. LeBron James got suspended and had a bunch of smoke with Rich Chu on the podcast on Monday. You should check that out. That was a really good podcast we did on Monday because LeBron James and Isaiah Stewart got in an on-court altercation in which I believe it was a basketball play. Rich tends to disagree. The NBA agrees then that the Jokic and LeBron incidents are worthy of the same suspension because they both got one game. LeBron James, never been suspended in his career, was suspended yesterday at the New York Knicks, where the LA Lakers, a game in Madison Square Garden, in which LeBron James, I believe, is the third all-time scorer in Madison Square Garden, behind only Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Minimum of 15 games, yep.
28.1 per game at Madison Square Garden, the third most all time behind Michael Jordan and Kobe. LeBron was suspended during that game, and the New York Knicks fans, people that travel to go see people from Connecticut, Boston area, whatever, because the Lakers don't play very many games in New York. We can all sit here and recognize the fact that it's not very more opportunities you get to see LeBron James, particularly at the Garden, and the NBA suspended him for what happened. As I mentioned, they also suspended Jokic for one game, so apparently those incidents are two of the same. And also, they suspended Isaiah Stewart for only two. So, in my opinion, the NBA got all these suspensions wrong because LeBron should have never been suspended. Isaiah Stewart should have way more than two games if LeBron's getting one. And if LeBron's getting one, Jokic should have more than one. So, I'm slightly confused on all these suspensions handed out here by the NBA. You're now going to have a Malice in the Palace, what is probably going to be part three, because on November 28th, the Pistons are playing the Lakers at LA. Both players will be off their suspensions by that time, and you better get your popcorn ready and eyes on that game if you're a fan of basketball, NBA, LeBron, whatever. The Lakers are on a back-to-back tonight in Indiana. LeBron James should be back tonight. Money line's looking real hot on that. I got the Lakers winning the game. Never mind the fact how that game went last night, losing a close game. Russell Westbrook, 30-point triple-double, one of his best games as a Laker, maybe arguably his best game as a Laker, looking better and better each game. Anthony Davis, some flu-like bullshit, 5-11 from the free throw line, lose by 6 points, down by 26 in the first quarter are the Lakers. The stats on the Lakers trailing by as many as 25 points tonight against the Knicks. Lakers 25-point deficits. This season they've had 6-19 games. Last season 6-72 games. You can go through all the stats. Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis 4-7 without LeBron. Lakers 9-10 on the season. All yada yada yada. That's fine. The moral of the story here is the NBA got this wrong. Looks extremely soft for suspending LeBron James, and honestly should apologize to a lot of the fans that paid hard-earned money expecting to see LeBron James and were denied by a complete soft situation handled by the NBA, in my opinion. Could not believe he got fined. Isaiah Stewart was also suspended. I don't think he was fined. Isaiah Stewart was fined $950,000, which is a good amount of money. Nearly a million. LeBron did try to reach out and get his phone number and apologize after the game. So a lot of people are trying to say LeBron did this intentionally. Yada, yada, whatever. Like, even if he did, which I don't think he did, it was accidental. It was a basketball move, locked up, jockeying for position, trying to get out of there. If he didn't hit him in the face, we wouldn't even be talking about it. Things I mentioned on last pod. Don't need to reiterate myself, but what I do need to reiterate is that was just that's not a good look for the NBA. To be suspending LeBron James one game for that, and suspending Nikola Jokic one game for what he did to Markieff Morris is just ridiculous to me. And to only suspend Isaiah Stewart for two games is not sending a message that that is not tolerated in your league. Because if you do something like that, which was absolute bananas and something we've never seen since Ron Artest, you're only getting a two-game suspension. At a guy like LeBron James, the face of the league, I just don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me with what the league did there. Shout out to Phoenix Suns, who started 1-3 through their first four games, have now won 13 in a row on a 13-game win streak in their last 13. They play again tonight as we have a full NBA slate of games. Looking forward to betting and checking in on them as I hit on a couple bets on the NBA this week, and it's so much fun. Like, I used to do daily fantasy NBA lineups and shit, and it was just like, yeah, I could win, but, like, not really. Like, at least I feel like I could win. And, yeah, I lose bets. And you can go listen to my gambling advice problem shit with Chew and Rich on Monday's pod, but it is fun to be able to throw $5, not throwing big money, even. If I had won big money, yeah, maybe I would, like Rich is saying, but I don't know. Just being able to do that, knowing I was in mass the other day and I was trying to check it and couldn't do that, The fact that in some states you can, in some states you can't, I still don't understand that. But in Connecticut, you can, thankfully. Shout out FanDuel Sportsbook. Shout out to the NBA. Game's going tonight. Should be a good clip. Let's see. I want to touch on Enes Kanter for a second because he's been doing some wild stuff. I was, as I've already mentioned, was at the Celtics-Lakers game this past Friday. Talked about that a couple times. Enes Kanter gets in the game. I'm like, yo, what is this dude wearing for shoes? And yeah, I wanted to shout Enes Kanter out and give him a little bit of respect here for putting his literally his livelihood on the line for what he believes in, while most people wouldn't dare, for wearing a lot of stuff on his shoes that looks extremely vibrant and wild, even to one's eye in the stadium or TV. Shout out Enes Kanter. He's always kind of been that dude that is put himself out there for causes and things he believes in, saying what he wants to say, regardless of what anyone's going to say about him, which is totally something I. Him going on CNN and calling out Michael Jordan, saying, quote, Michael Jordan has not done anything for the black community because he cares too much about his shoe sales. Somewhat wild accusation by Enes Kanter on Michael Jordan, who's donated millions of dollars to organizations of the black community, who've spoken out during these social justice issues. Just like one of those things that some people read that and like literally be like, wow, Michael Jordan doesn't support the black community because he cares too much about his shoe sales, and literally like believe it. And it's just a totally false statement. And it's some of this issue that I had with Aaron Rodgers lying about his vaccination status. Misinformation about COVID all over the joint. Like, bro, like, at least if you don't want to get the vaccine and want to complain about wanting to get the vaccine or having to get the vaccine, you don't have to come out and spread misinformation about COVID. Like, I wasn't vaccinated. I was out here telling everybody to fucking mask up, stay safe, keep your distance, all this shit that everyone was saying before there was even a vaccine, when all these other people were out here saying, yo, this shit ain't real. Like, all right, dude, the problem is you see these random headlines that come out about someone else that aren't true, and some people are going to read that and think it's true. And it's just this whole bad cycle that social media has created, that even what I'm doing is created. Being able to say something about someone or an athlete or a situation or a sports topic and have no filter on it and talk about it and have a take on it. But what I think Enes Kanter did right there is an example of kind of why we're in an issue of with everything we have going on right now. And it's just something I needed to bring up. I saw Gilbert Arenas shouting out Enes Kanter in his extremely long quote Instagram message to Isaiah Stewart, saying, hey brother, I'ma just be real with you here. Pack all shit. Pack your winter jackets and boots because your ass is about to be traded. Budapest, somewhere. I don't know what type of bumbleclot blood got in your eye, but you can't charge at the king like that on TV. You'll be drug tested exponentially just to make sure that rage ain't drug related. We don't do that in the NBA, quote unquote. You probably haven't read the memo for fight attempts in the NBA. Number one, don't square up with LeBron or Kevin Durant ever. Number two, them two fight skin boys. Them two light skin boys, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson on Golden State, don't your chest puffy towards them or your ass is done. Number three, only two teams that's allowed in to fist fight without any real penalties is wherever Rajon Rondo and CP3 at. This dude's out here spewing some nonsense, bro. Like, Yeah, if I was saying Isaiah Stewart is an absolute, I think he's a piece of shit, to be honest, for the way he acted. But, you know, he's 20, he's young. I think Rich brought up some good points. Like, all right, heat of the moment, NBA, like, seeing, whatever. Bro, that's fine. You didn't have to act like that, but whatever. You lose your cool, it happens. I've seen it. I respect it. It's sports. But you should have been suspended longer. You might get traded. Gilbert Arenas might be right here, but if I'm the Pistons, he's going to be out there within less than a week. So it's like this thing with Aaron Rodgers. Right, Colin Kaepernick gets banned for life in the NFL for taking a knee, and Aaron Rodgers gets a week vacation for putting his entire team, everybody that they play, their team staff, their families, fans, for lying and spreading COVID misinformation. I mean, you literally just can't make this shit up. The discretions of suspensions and people talking about players that are doing this shit. And it's like, what? Like, I just cannot. And Gilbert Arenas, man, that was one for the ages right there. You can go check that one out. You can go check out Kyle Kuzma's long pink TQMS sweater, which is apparently Roth Simmons oversized sleeve virgin wool jumper for $1,659. Yeah, I'm about the style and the swag for sure, and I'm about Kyle Kuzma, who's been proving me right and been balling out for the Washington Wizards. But that was a pretty wild fit that day, but I'm all for the way he's sticking up for himself, man. Kuzma's that real deal. Shout out Kuzma for real. Need to touch on the college sports for a minute before I touch on a few of the games. I wanted to touch on this. Dickie V, man, 82 years old, told he had cancer on October 12th. Thought his days behind the mic were over. He called the game last night with Dave O'Brien, Gonzaga versus UCLA, rematch of last year's tournament game. Number one and number two right now in the country ranked were the Zags versus UCLA. You know, he's back. He's raising money still for the V Foundation in this post. He's fighting, obviously, cancer currently, and he's providing some content that you literally can't watch and not cry, honestly. I've been watching Jimmy V and listening to Jimmy V. I'm sorry, Dickie V and the Jimmy V speech, but Dickie V, since I can remember, I must have been, what, a little kid, 5, 6, 7 years old, and I remember, like, playing the EA Sports college games as a kid and the Dickie V commentary and that. Wham, bam, bam, baby. Oh, like all the shit he's famous for saying. That's absolutely ridiculous, by the way. But just an phenomenal personality. Just sad to see. Good to see him out calling the game, but just sad to see a lot of the posts that he's got up. I know he's 82, but you don't ever want to see anybody having to fight cancer, and just so many people that are and do on a daily basis, the news, the Trump, all the, it's just terrible. I just hate seeing it. I feel so bad for just him in general, but just seeing the way he kind of is out there calling the game, just providing insight to the youth and to all individuals, is just really great to see, and I'm happy I got to see him calling the game last night. I hope I get to see him calling more games in the future. In regards to the games, I wanted to touch on college basketball for a sec before I touch on the college football rankings and probably get out of here. In regards to college basketball, it kind of leads into my college football take, where last night you had Gonzaga, number one team in the country, playing UCLA, number two team in the country. We've already, the first night of the year, I talked about this a little bit with college basketball. You had Duke playing Kentucky. You had Kansas playing Michigan State. You're going to have UConn, who already played Auburn, top 25 teams in the rankings, playing Michigan State, a top team in the rankings, tomorrow. High-ranked teams playing high-ranked teams early on in the season, later in the season, obviously for conference tournaments throughout the season. The records don't need to be undefeated to make a tournament. It provides us some incredible games, even though last night's didn't really turn out to be that incredible because the Zags absolutely pound on UCLA 83-63. And Chet Holmgren, man, 7'1" freshman that I've talked about, who we're now kind of seeing because he's now on the Zags and on the stage. The Zags, who have never won a national championship, will win a national championship under Chet Holmgren. This year, I would not be surprised if they did it. In a year that a lot of teams are good, too. So it's going to be hard. And we all know what happened to the Zags last year, which they were undefeated all the way through the year, heading through the tournament, and lost a heartbreaker. And I don't remember who it was too off the top of my head. But I do think they have a chance to win under Chet Holmgren. And this year with Timmy still there and some of the weapons they have still there, it wouldn't be surprising. They're the number one team in the country right now for a reason. But watch out for UConn. But just the fact that college basketball can put on these games, I think is great and good excitement. And you got on the women's side, South Carolina ranked number one in the country playing UConn, ranked number two in the country. UConn and Paige Beckers already having a loss on the season. They're not out of the tournament and out of potentially winning a national championship, are they? Even if they lose 3, 4, 5 games. I saw the women's bracket will be expanded like the men's. A lot of NCAA women's and men's college basketball things being now set universally, which is something I like to see after the last year's debacle or year and a half ago's debacle with the bubble. But it's so much more fun to watch college basketball because of that aspect. You're watching better games. Teams that have one loss or no losses aren't thriving, living for their lives to try and get to a small playoff that is the only thing that matters. Let's just be real. These bowl games in college football don't matter. So I think it's the fourth ranking now, college football edition, maybe 5. I don't know. I saw Alabama just the third team to fall out of the top 2 after a win since the rankings began in 2014, Florida State in 2014, and Clemson in 2017. Cincinnati, as I mentioned, becomes the first group of 5 team to land in the top 4 spot in the rankings, and Notre Dame is the only top 10 team to jump at least one spot in all 4 releases. Yes, this is the fourth. So, Cincinnati, great, right? They'll make it into the college football playoff if they win out. Hold your horse. See, this is the problem I have with the college football playoff and the committee and this whole thing that college football has done now since 2014. Because I was doing some research on it. Just had to double check. In 2014, and I remember this exactly, because my dad was a big TCU guy. I remember him. Oh, the Horned Frogs, they need to be in the Final Four, man. Oh, the Horned Frogs got fucked. The Horned Frogs, TCU Horned Frogs, made it into the last poll before the final poll as the 4 seed. They went out that last week of the season and won by 50 points and fell out of the number 4 slot. So Cincinnati fans and guys like me rooting for a group of 5 teams to have shots in the college football playoff, Cincinnati making it in the top 4 right now means nothing. And there still is so much that needs to happen over these last few weeks of college football that is already crooked with the whole committee thing to begin with. Just sit back. Look me in the face or message me on my screen and tell me that the college football landscape as a whole would not be more intriguing for all fans if the playoff was not expanded. I mean, they're already doing everything like the NFL anyways, adding name, image, likeness, transfer portal in college sports. You don't see the NFL inviting just as conference winners to the playoffs. There's wild cards for a reason. Because fans want to see more football. Fans want to see what are apparently good football teams. If you make the playoffs, you're probably a good football team. Play meaningful football games at meaningful times. And to me, the bowls and the Super Mayo Bowl and the Custard Bowl just aren't doing it. For me, and what I would assume should be a lot of college football fans, unless your team's in the Final Four. And I just don't get why you wouldn't want to have more eyes on your sport. Just another crock of shit with the college football rankings. Stupid. I feel like I covered a good amount of it today. I'm trying to catch up on a good amount of it, and I did, and I'm happy. I don't know how it came out, but I'm happy I did it. And now I only have a half an hour until NBA comes on, so that's something I'm excited about. Chet Holmgren, man. 15 points, 4 blocks. Yeah, it's Andrew Nembhard. 24 points, 6 assists, and Drew Timmy, 18 points, 8 rebounds. Absolutely annihilating anticipated Final Four match from last year. Yeah, Final Four rematch. That's what it was. Oh, yeah, the Zags lost to UCLA. That's wild. They crushed them. Damn, I wish Chu was here because I saw this morning that Steve Cohen tweeted, "I'm not happy this morning. I've never seen such an unprofessional behavior exhibited by a player's agent. I guess words and promises don't matter." Bruh. Chu, this Steve Cohen dude needs to stay offline with his stuff, man. Absolutely wild some of the shit he does on his Twitter. I've been telling you that since the beginning. And I just, oh, man. I don't want to hear how many more days are until opening day. I want to hear what the hell is going on with your Mets. That's all I want to know, bro. I saw James Franklin sign a 10-year contract to go back to Penn State. Whew, interesting. Very interesting. A lot of coaches betting on themselves, man. Get something done. We'll see about that. But hey, I saw his buyout plan, whatever they decide to get out from underneath, or whenever they decide to get out from underneath his contract, however many years he has left, times $8 million is how much that buyout is. Saw Dan Mullen just get a $12 million buyout to get fired out of Florida. Dudes get paid way too much money, bro. It's absolutely crazy. Oh, my God. I can't believe this shit. I don't think Penn State will do anything under James Franklin, to be honest. Even in the Big Ten. To make the super conferences, I don't know. So dumb. Some job openings, though. Florida, USC, LSU. Ain't no one touching Georgia, though. I don't think Bama's beating Georgia. They might beat Auburn. I don't think they're beating Georgia. And then it'll be interesting to see how those playoffs are looking. I'll be wanting to talk about it then, for sure. I'll be talking about some more stuff soon, hopefully. Make it back, I don't know, after Thanksgiving. Hope everyone has a good Thanksgiving and happy, safe traveling, safe and happy holiday with your friends, family, food, all the above, gratefulness, thankfulness, all the good things. Looking forward to seeing some of my family for sure. Shout out to my cousin Meg, who told me she has a girlfriend, who I'm supposed to meet tomorrow, so shout out to that LGBTQ community that I've been shouting out here a little bit on the pod. Um, Shout out to all my friends and family that checks out on the pod, as I mentioned, for Thanksgiving purposes. Much love. Hope all is well. Happy Thanksgiving. Any listeners out there, happy Thanksgiving to y'all and your friends and family and whatnot. Shout out to my neighbor Joyce, who I got to talk to today. Wish her happy Thanksgiving, which was nice. And I'll get out of here on this. I saw this post by 2 Chainz. He says, "I don't feel sorry for nobody grown and capable. Y'all swear shit be holding you back, but it really be you. Stuck in your ways and won't make the necessary changes to be better. So that's on you. It ain't the devil. Ain't the city you in. It's not the people you around. It's you." Now, 2 Chainz is 100% right here. It's ridiculous. Speaking the truth, all real, 100 as can be, 2 Chainz. And sometimes the truth hurts. And reading this, like, burns my insides. Because I feel like I've used my podcast at some points, particularly as a solo burst, even though I'm talking sports, as somewhat of like a therapy session for not only myself, but for anybody that likes checking in on me or listening to me, that some people say they do, and I just can't see why, but I'll appreciate it as always. It's hard to realize and to have to admit to yourself that most of everything that you're struggling with or feeling kind of stuck or left behind with is all on you. And I've been trying so much harder to kind of get out of that mentality, not only because I've been in that mentality because of my workplace and job situation, but also everything that's happened to me since starting that job and now kind of getting everything back on track after being kind of left alone through my relationships and losing my grandparents and my neighbor and all kinds of things kind of morphed into one for me. Can't use that shit as an excuse. And I refuse to do that any longer. I try so hard and I fight so hard every day to continue on. It's hard as hell, man. I've been doing better. Been trying as hard as I can. Been meeting as many people as I can to try and help going forward. But a lot of this is just dealing with it internally, as I mentioned. And a lot of having to get through that, not only to go forward, but to recognize all that stuff is on you and is internally. And all that stuff can be really hard and hurtful and hard to deal with. And it's little things that you got to look at. Little things that kind of keep you going. For me, it's a lot of random stuff that people don't even know about, and that's also something I can appreciate. Can always appreciate everybody checking up on my podcast, as always. Until next time, we'll see you here on the Seggy Station. Appreciate all love and support for it, as always. That's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening. Still, just a man with a nickname. That's all I had to say for today. See y'all next time on the Seggy Station. Enjoy them sports. Have a good Thanksgiving. Deuces.